Take your Bibles, please, if you will. And I'd like you to turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. 1 Kings, chapter 17. And we'll be looking at verses 2 through 7. 1 Kings, chapter 17. Would you stand, please, as we honor the Word of God. As I read, you follow along. 1 Kings 17, beginning with verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and he's talking to Elisha, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Notice verse 7, something happened. There was a major change. It came to pass after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. I want to speak on the subject this morning, has your brook dried up? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, bless the reading of your word. It is your precious word and we love it. And I pray now that your word would accomplish what it is intended to accomplish today. Speak to our hearts. I pray, dear God, that we would look at our lives and deal with this question, has our brook dried up? And help us to see what you want us to do when that happens in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated, please. There had been 3.5 years of famine, and now Elijah had been led of the Lord over into an area by a brook, and he was going to supply Elijah with water and supply him with food. And everything was going pretty good. It was going very well. And Elijah had no complaints, but all of a sudden, there was a major change. I have an idea. He was thinking, boy, things are going real good. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I'm enjoying eating this meat. I'm enjoying drinking from this nice, crystal, clear, cool brook. Now, back then, they didn't have all of the pollution that we have today. I'm not sure I'd want to drink out of a cool brook today. But then they did have one, and he was told by the Lord to go there and drink. But all of a sudden, after enjoying those privileges for a while, after a while, the brook dried up. That meant he had nothing to quench his thirst. That meant that he could no longer drink there. He was unsatisfied. He had to move on. He had to do something else. God was telling him, it's time for you to go to the widow of Zarephath. I want you to move on. I have something bigger for you. I have something better for you. This was okay for a while, but I want to show you a great miracle through this widow woman of Zarephath, and we'll look at some of that in just a moment. But God allowed his brook to dry up in his life, and I think sometimes he allows that in our lives. Especially, I would say, that in the life of the unsaved, those who do not know Christ, those who are not born again, those who have never trusted Him, sometimes God will let your brook dry up so that He can bring you to a place, He can get your attention, and cause you to realize that you need to look at Him and you need to be born again. You need to come to Christ and know Him as your Savior. Sometimes it's money in the life of an unsaved person. He'll let that source of their joy, the money, dry up. I remember one lady in particular whose husband took his own life because there was a crash in the market and he lost just about all of his fortune. He couldn't live with that. And his brook dried up. He blew his brains out. He went out to eternity. But at the same time, it brought her to a realization that she needed something she didn't have. she needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Her brook dried up. And when God allows that, maybe a financial reversal in your life, or maybe there's other problems, other trouble that comes in your life. There are those who have lived in sin for years, and sin has satisfied them, and the Bible says it will for a season. Don't be surprised if you really enjoy sin for a while. A lot of people say, well, you know, unsaved people, they surely can't enjoy sinning. According to the Bible, they can. For a while, for a season. And all of a sudden, that's not bringing any pleasure. All of a sudden, they realize that all of the works of unrighteousness and all of the sin that they're involved in, these things are not bringing any pleasure in their life anymore like it used to. And they know that something is missing. It is not going to those places and running with that crowd and doing the same thing and having those habits that they have in their lives. Maybe immorality and looseness, but whatever the sin is. And all of a sudden they begin to realize, hey, this isn't satisfying me any longer. This is not where the answer is. And friend, it isn't in sin. It isn't in turning your back against God. But finally the brook will dry up. Sometimes it's a terrible physical problem that God allows to come by. Sometimes it's a tragedy. Sometimes there are those things that come along with the pleasures of sin that you didn't intend to come along with. And sin will always take you further than you want to go, and it'll make you stay longer than you want to stay, and it always makes you pay much more than you intended to pay. But that old brook sometimes will dry up. There's no satisfaction there anymore. You see, there are people right now, somewhere while I'm speaking right now, somebody's putting a gun to their head and fixing to pull the trigger and blow their brains out. Or maybe to their heart. You know why? Because their brook dried up. They've been in sin. They haven't turned to the Lord. They've gone on and on for years, and all of a sudden they realize nothing is satisfying. And there are people right now that are committing suicide around the world because the brook has dried up. There are others who get on dope and drugs and heroin, and others who get on alcohol, which obviously is a drug. And they become alcoholics, and they turn to those things because their brook dried up, and instead of turning to the Lord like God wanted them to, they turn to those things. And that brook, I can tell you, someday is going to dry up too. That's a dead-end street. Drugs, immorality, alcohol, all of those things are going to lead to a dead-end street. Now, he says, you need to leave Cherith. What you need to do is go to Zarephath. What you need to do is turn and repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved and get born again. God's trying to get your attention. God's saying, I'm the answer. If you want joy, then turn to me. If you want purpose in life, turn to me. If you want peace in your heart, turn to me. I'm the one that can satisfy and give you a greater brook. I'll give you a whole ocean of grace and mercy and love if you'll just come to me. Friend, the answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer today. There are those who have broken homes. The answer is Christ. Broken health. The answer is Christ. Messed up businesses. All kinds of problems. All I can tell you is you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God the blood of Jesus Christ can wash you and cleanse you from all of your past and all of your sins. You see, it's under the blood if you come to Him. Maybe it's the health of your mate that has really suffered. And you realize there are some serious problems there. And it could be, listen, it could be that God has let that brook dry up so that you'll come to your senses and understand and realize that you need to turn to Christ. Maybe it's your wife who's gotten ill. Maybe it's your husband. But God is saying, I want your attention. Turn to me, and I'll satisfy your longing and your needs for all of your life. Then, of course, there are the Christians. Sometimes our brooks dry up. There are circumstances that come in our life we just don't understand. We don't know why they're there. We don't know why God has allowed them. And we were drinking from the brook, and everything was going pretty good. Everything seemed to be rather smooth, but all of a sudden, that brook dried up. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're a child of God. Yes, you belong to Him. But all of a sudden, that pleasure, that joy, that brook just dried up, and problems came in, and dead ends that you cannot explain came. you're going in the right direction, you're thrown, and all of a sudden, it just seems you're frustrated, and you come to a dead end, and you don't really know which way to go. Your brook dries up. A lot of Christians, things that used to fulfill them, things that used to make them happy, things that used to bring them joy, no longer are bringing you joy as a Christian. That's because your brook is dried up. Does that mean God's against you and God didn't have something better for you? Not at all. Sometimes that's God's way, the brook drying up, to show you that He wants to move you on to Zarephath, that He has a greater ministry for you, He has something else for you to do. He doesn't want you to be satisfied where you are. He wants you to move out and move forward. He lets the brook dry up so you'll do exactly that. You know, when you start out serving God, a little brook is enough. You start serving God, a little responsibility, and you're so thankful for that. And what doesn't take a whole lot of praise, just a little bit of encouragement, and the brook is running, and you're drinking from that brook, and you're happy, and you're serving God, and all of a sudden, there comes a dissatisfaction. What is God doing? Has God let you down? No. Has Christ let you down? No. Has the water of life failed to quench your thirst? Absolutely not. But occasionally, God will just let that brook dry up so that He can catapult you and move you out and move you forward and move you into a deeper relationship and a deeper walk and a closer walk with Him. He allows those things to come into our lives. You see, God knows what we can handle and God knows what we can't handle. And He knows sometimes that we're just sort of treading water somewhere. We're not really swimming forward and going forward. We're just sort of sitting there treading water, wondering why the brook's dried up, wondering why we can't move on, wondering why there's no joy, no peace, no real satisfaction, and no happiness in our lives. And we have those small responsibilities, but God moves us out. By the way, God gives you responsibilities equal to, not more than, but equal to your spiritual ability. But sometimes we don't even move out to that. God moves us and breaks our hearts and forms us and wants us to do more for Him, serve Him in a greater way. God allows those things to come in order to cause that. You see, He never puts on us more than we can stand, but He certainly will give us those opportunities if we'll step out for Him. There was a time when I could sit out there like you and enjoy preaching and just sit there and enjoy preaching. You know, there are a lot of jokes about preachers and why they got into the ministry. Some people say that they were called into the ministry because they woke up one Sunday morning and they were craving fried chicken and didn't want to go to work. Therefore, they felt they had the call of God to go into the ministry. Well, I tell you, it's a lot deeper than that. There are others who do not really understand what the call to the ministry is all about and why it's that way. I'd rather be up here preaching today than sitting out there like you are. It's a whole lot more fun to be up here. But it wouldn't be if God hadn't called me. It wouldn't be if He hadn't dried up my brook. I remember working as a youth director and working for 3 years at Fellowship Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. And God had blessed the youth department, and we'd had a very unique and unusual growth, and we were so thankful for the fact that God had done that. But after 3 years, my brook was drying up, and I knew it. And I called a pastor who lived close to Roanoke, Virginia, who pastors one of the largest works in the country today, and met him and talked with him, and he talked with me about going to work for him as his youth director. And then he said, "I want to ask you something. Do you want to pastor? Do you want to preach?" And I said, "Well, really, I do. That's what I really want to do." He said, "Well, I think you need to go on and take your church and you need to get in the pastorate, because that's what God, if you feel that that's what God's really called you to do, that's what you need to do." I was sort of disappointed humanly that I didn't get to go to work for him, but down in my heart, I knew that brook had dried up, and what I really needed to do was pastor, and it wasn't long until God opened the door and gave me my first pastor. My brook dried up. God gave me a holy dissatisfaction to move me on. May I say to you in your work, maybe you're a bus worker, maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, maybe you work in some other area of the church, and you come to a place and you think, "Well, I'm just not really being satisfied with what I'm doing or satisfied here." God will let your brook dry up. Sunday school teacher, when you're not satisfied with the growth and you're not satisfied with what's going on, don't blame it on God and all of those other things. recognize that God may be letting your brook dry up so you'll move on to greater things. He wants you to go out and do more and serve Him more and get more involved and be a better teacher and plan more and work more and labor more and put Him first. He'll let you be unsatisfied so you'll move out and do more for Him. I have an idea that's the case in the lives of some of you that are believers today. Just sort of percolating a little bit and maybe treading water a little while and wondering, why don't I have the excitement I used to have years ago? Why am I not thrilled about those things? God lets your brook dry up, not for you to sit there and dry up with it and perish and die, but to move you on to another area, Zarephath, so He can show you a miracle and bless you and use you. God allows that to happen in our lives, the same way as in stewardship. I can remember when, and for years and years, even when I was a child, I was taught to give a tithe, to give 10%. We owe God 10% of all that He gives us. That's minimum, isn't it? That's just a starting place. And I can remember for a number of years, I thought, man, if I give 10% of what I earned, whether it was mowing yards or working at the funeral home or working at the service station, that was fine. That was all right. But you know, one day God dried that brook up. And God said, you cannot be satisfied with that anymore. You need to learn to live by faith. You need to learn what it is and how exciting it is to step out by faith. And God let that brook dry up. And I learned the wonderful principle of giving to God. And I'm discovering more and more and more and more this principle to be absolutely true. You cannot outgive God. Some of you today need to get out of that dried up brook of 10% and move on out to faith giving that God has taught us about and give above your tithe and give an offering to the Lord. And you'll see that God has a Zarephath and a miracle out there for you. He'll multiply the cruse of oil in the meal. He'll do it for you if you'll learn to step out. Don't just be satisfied there. Let that brook dry up and realize God has done that. I've talked to some people who realize that and they begin to give and some to give. I believe some have the gift of making money, don't you? I don't have that gift. That's never been my gift. I can...